Okay, so welcome to the Ambulance Science Podcast. We've been gone for a while because, frankly, we had nothing to say. But now we do. So one of the things I was reading just the other week was about Hennepin County, who wears, how do they put it, UPS Browns, the uniform changing to, it's something pretty horrific. It's like stretchy polyester, blue and white stripe. They look like they're a package delivery person, I think, in the future. Although that, I guess that isn't much of a change from looking like a UPS delivery person in some ways. So I'm Scott Phelps, and this is Maria Werner, and this is the Ambulance Science Podcast. And today we're going to talk about uniforms and what they mean. So Maria, what I wanted to ask you, I wanted to do a thought exercise here with you. And I wanted you to close your eyes. And I wanted you to think about a man or a woman in a brown uniform. Okay?
Okay.
You got that in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does that person do?
Okay. So I'm going to say park ranger, state trooper, camp leader.
Camp leader? I didn't expect that
something
one.
Something like that. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Okay, and how do you feel about them? Are they an authoritative person? Are they a helpful person? Are they?
If they're pulling me over, I'm anxious, but everyone else is fine.
Okay, so if they have lights in their truck, then it's going to make you anxious. Okay, close your eyes again. We're going to try this a couple of times. So think of somebody in a blue uniform. You got it?
Got it.
Okay, so what do they do?
See, when I think blue, I think cop.
Okay. I guess I think mechanic, but that's just me, I think.
I could see mechanic too.
So I guess it depends, right? Epaulets, badges, all that other stuff, or just like a blue top and blue bottom.
Yeah, like context clues. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do it two more times. That's it. So close your eyes again. Think of somebody in a green uniform.
So I automatically think senior care when green.
Okay.
So EMS, a variety of EMS.
That's funny. Is this because that's what they wear around here? But you didn't mention Nassau County EMS, although they wear khakis when I talked about Browns either. So senior care must have some sort of high position in your psyche for some reason.
I think I've just seen them more.
And you didn't park rangers didn't come up either, but they came up with the Browns, huh?
Well, some of it's exposure. So where I was working / volunteering, a lot of the cops were Navy. Okay. And now where I work, they're not. They're all different colors. So I think it's sort of just like what you're used to.
Okay. So the final one is, close your eyes one more time. Think about somebody in a white uniform. What do they do? How do you?
When I think white, I think hospital, like hospital EMS, hospital worker, nurse, doctor, white coats, right? Like lab coats, like white shirts or supervisors.
Yes. Okay. And actually, for the most part, there's some exceptions, but that's the way it was before 1970. So before 1970, almost all ambulance workers wore whites. White top, white bottom. Almost all hospital workers wore whites because it signified that cleanliness, healthcare, a whole bunch of associations. But now, I think the only ambulance department I know of that wears white pants in the entire United States is New York Presbyterian. And they are so well known for wearing their white pants that they're hashtag frequently is the White Pants Mafia, because it's a fairly large department with multiple locations and multiple counties, but they're well known for wearing the white pants. And whenever you see them in the newspaper, you know exactly who they are because they're the only ones wearing white pants. Now, in a sense of full disclosure, I actually wore white pants. I didn't work for New York Presbyterian. I worked for Lenox Hill Hospital. And at one point in my career, I did wear white pants. And I have been a loud and almost tongue in cheek, supporter of EMS wearing whites, because if we're worried about differentiating ourselves from law enforcement, wearing white pants and a white top would be probably the single best way to do it. So, Maria, I'm going to let you be every other EMT in the world. So, what's your response?
It's going to be dirty.
It's going to be dirty. What is my response to that, Maria?
Clean your pants.
Then clean your damn pants and clean your damn ambulance. Exactly. The reason we wore whites.
Bleach works really well.
Bleach works really well in your white Levi's.
Better than a light color when you can just bleach it.
I spent, years bleaching my white Levi jeans at Lenox Hill Hospital, because at Lenox Hill, the uniform was white pants, full stop. That was the uniform. So you could wear whatever top you wanted as long as you had on white pants. So I wore white Levi jeans and a scrub top, and that worked out perfectly fine. Yes, it's hard to keep white pants clean, but the point of it is that we should be in an environment where everything is clean. So our ambulances should be clean. The front of the ambulance should be clean. We should make some efforts to make sure all of our equipment is clean. And that's why white pants are a good idea. Now, whenever I say this, I recognize that the vast majority of people in EMS feel differently. So that's why I don't push my beliefs onto everybody else. But I'm a pretty strong believer that if everybody in EMS still wore white the way almost every EMS provider did before 1970, we'd have a much cleaner system and people would be more concerned about making sure that they were clean. We can't even get EMS clinicians to shave every day. Or let me rephrase that. We're not willing to make EMS clinicians shave every day. So we're just used to people dressing like slobs and behaving like slobs. And I think that's, everybody in EMS likes to complain endlessly about 8 million different things. But one of the things they complain is that they're not treated seriously and don't get the respect they deserve. And part of it is because they're not shaven and they have stains all over their blue pants because they're too lazy to clean everything up.
It's a negative feedback loop.
It's a negative feedback loop. Now, other places, other countries in the world, they still do wear whites. You'll see it other places in the country, other places in the world. Actually, not other places in the country. The U.S. is almost exclusively wearing blue and gray. In the United Kingdom and in Australia and New Zealand, United Kingdom and New Zealand wear greens. In Australia, I think they mostly wear blue. But they might wear greens as well. So it depends where you are, but the different colors are representing different things. In the UK, I think all the services wear green, except for maybe St. John's ambulance wears black. They used to wear black and white. Now they wear sort of New Zealand, they wear sort of a green, dark colored green, white. Boston also wears browns. Hennepin County wears browns now. Nassau County Police EMS wears browns. Browns are not a sign of healthcare. Browns are a sign of package delivery people. Browns are a sign of not cops, not law enforcement, but they're also not a sign of a healthcare person. And, is it because my mindset is that EMS clinicians are healthcare workers and we're healthcare, not public safety? Is that part of the reason why I'm so tied to whites?
I feel like white is like a healthcare color to me, like visually. I tend to like white tops over white bottoms. So I kind of see your point, but I see the practicality of people too. Like I would hate to look dirty when I show up for a call because I just got back from somewhere without getting to change my pants from like another call.
Let's stop for a second. But wait, stop for a second. If you're dirty from a call, should you be going on the other call?
Well, I don't mean I don't mean like bloody or anything.
Oh, hopefully. Of course not. Oh, of course not. Vomit or blood or poop. No. Yeah, that would never
just
happen.
Anything else, being outside, being like even just kneeling on the ground for an NBA and stuff. Like I feel like it would be unprofessional to show up looking like that. But I guess if you always have a spare pair of pants or something, like that's always, you know, the solution. But it's just a lot to keep up with.
Really? It's a lot to keep up with.
I think so. But you're the one who did it. I never had white pants. I don't even wear white pants recreationally. So.
You know, if you are white pants at work, New York Hospital still does this. They wash your pants for you. So you always have a spare pair of pants at work.
That's nice. That's an example of a good employer compromising with the situation.
Well, they're actually required to wash your uniforms. You know that, right? That's actually an OSHA requirement that your employer wash your uniforms. That's not kind of a baby thing. It's actually OSHA because it's actually your part of your blood born protection plan, and it's their responsibility to launder your specialized equipment. That's exactly what that is. And most departments just ignore OSHA, which is, well, if OSHA had more teeth, perhaps they wouldn't ignore it quite so much, but they're required to do it. Listen, I don't think it's the most practical color. I don't, but I think that it's also more medical. Now, I've worn a bunch of different uniforms over my career. I've worn red jumpsuits, light blue jumpsuits, dark blue jumpsuits, blue pants, white shirt, blue pants, white polo, blue pants, blue shirt, white pants, green scrub top, because that's what I happen to wear. And now at my current position, I wear blue pants and a blue polo that I'm not actually in love with. I don't think polos are necessarily the most medical focused garb we could wear. And I don't think they look good on a bunch of people.
We've done the polos, like the golf shirts and stuff. And it just doesn't feel like the right vibe.
No. You know, one of the things, so perhaps the middle ground compromise is scrubs. White scrubs or even another color of scrubs. A scrub top does not make you look like a cop, no matter what color it is, whether it's green or brown or blue or white. And it actually makes you look medical. And it has the added bonus of being a hell of a lot cheaper to buy a scrub top than it is to buy either a polo shirt or to buy a dress shirt.
I would agree with that, but they would just have to have really good pockets.
Really, before pocket scrubs, right? You know, listen, you could buy expensive scrubs. You could buy cheap scrubs. You could buy expensive scrubs. Actually, my medic students just went from wearing a BDU blouse, which has four pockets on it. That's part of the reason why I liked it. To wearing scrub tops in their hospital rotations and in the warm weather on their ambulance rotations, because that was part of the problem. Wearing a BDU blouse, it was hard for other people to know who they were because it didn't have a bunch of patches and embroidery and stuff all over it. So we're moving back towards scrubs. And I think scrubs are easier and more professional, and they identify you as a healthcare person. The problem with blue is that it doesn't sort of, if you're looking at it, you're squinting at someone from far away, they're wearing a white top and a blue bottom, or a blue top and a blue bottom from far away. It's not, especially in low light, it maybe not be the easiest to see that they're a healthcare person. But if they're wearing white scrubs, like you said, or at least a white scrub top, it's probably a lot easier to identify people.
Absolutely.
So the second question I had was, do you care if people think, I mean, I don't think most people think I'm a cop. Do you think that people mistake you for a police officer?
I definitely get mistaken in Target a lot more than I get mistaken as a cop, or like Target or Staples if I wear something red, than I do getting mistaken as a cop when I'm in EMS garb.
So they think you're a Staples employee?
Yes, because I actually wear a red scrub top and a red jacket now at my current job in the hospital.
Okay.
And I have learned to not go to various locations. Target, Chick-fil-A.
Are you saying you can't help me? Are you saying I can't get, you know, an order of a fries and a spicy chicken deluxe sandwich from you?
Well, Scott, you and I, you know, we're the same. So a lot of times it depends on the mood. Sometimes I'll go with it. I'll just start helping people like I work there. I'm like, oh, yeah, papers back there in that other, you know, other section. And, you know, I'll be like, yeah, let me help you find that. Like, and then they'll realize, like, I'm in scrubs and not, like, a Target top. Interesting. But no, I don't get mistaken as a cop very often. Although sometimes I will say there's more times that I would rather be mistaken as a cop than get mistaken as a medic because of the authority behind it. So if you're in, you know, kind of a situation that's trying or sketchy or anything like that, you know, it's almost like I feel like it's more protective than a risk factor, if anything.
See, I've always found it to be the opposite, because so when I worked in, as most of you know, New York City most of my career. And when we at the time, one person would carry the ambulance radio and one person would carry the police radio. So when we would go into a housing project, and we would go to the stairs, we would have to, you know, we would shout out ambulance every time we would turn a corner so they wouldn't think that we were the police about to turn the corner. I mean, I don't care if you're selling drugs, just let me buy and, you know, I got a job to do and you're doing your job and just, you know, everybody left everybody alone. But, you know, we just didn't want to turn the corner and surprise anybody. That was always, you know, the fear. But, it, you know, honestly, seeing an EMT or a paramedic get shot or stabbed is so uncommon as to almost be a non-issue. If you look at the number of taxi drivers who get shot in this country versus the number of paramedics who get shot, in 150 years of ambulance service in New York City, there's been exactly two ambulance workers shot. One in 1898 or so, in Spanish Harlem, where an angry Swede shot an ambulance surgeon. And the other one in 1954 in Brooklyn, where an emotionally disturbed person in Brooklyn shot ambulance attendant Hannah Callanan, and the police officer who arrived to take him to the hospital when he was acting out at home. So that's it. In the busiest system in the country, two people ever. And the ambulance surgeon in Harlem wasn't killed. He was just shot in the shoulder. And so I think it's an overblown fear in many ways.
I've heard, you know, I've definitely heard that vibe. Like, I was doing my paramedic clinical rotations around the same time that Michael Gardner had died. And so there was a lot of kind of a similar vibe to today, where there's a lot of fear, I think, from the police about possibly being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person and having, you know, some sort of aggression. And they were concerned about us as students during that time, similarly to how they might be now, just in a subjective way. So I could understand that, you know, that perception, but I didn't find it to be the reality. Like, I never felt unsafe walking around, you know, anywhere near the boroughs in my outfit. Like, sometimes I wore a sweatshirt over it because it was cold, but I wasn't doing it to, you know, cover my uniform. Okay. But I will say that when it comes to, you know, just the color or the identification, I almost feel like, you know, it's just a uniform. And whether I was a cop or a paramedic, I would get the same respect or disrespect. Like, I kind of felt like it was neutral. Like, I was going to get a free coffee or I wasn't, like, no matter what uniform I was wearing to the Dunkin', you know, or so, you know, like, that kind of aspect. Or, you know, I never, you know, felt unsafe. What I did see was, once I was on the subway and I saw a police officer who was next to me, and he saw that I was in uniform, and he said something to me, like, weird, like, you know, because people don't talk on the subway in New York mostly, right? So I thought it was weird that he was talking to me, and he was dressed in a clown outfit. So I didn't know he was a police officer. So it was even more strange that he was talking to me. And so he would put on this clown outfit before and after his shift just to go on the subway, and he would change into his uniform at work. He explained this to me.
Wait.
Thinking about it.
Was this? Had you taken, like, three hits of acid before this?
No, I was very sober.
This can't be a true story. So
this was a real story.
You're trying to explain that I was on the subway talking to an off-duty police officer who was dressed up as a clown because he dressed as a clown to come to work and to go home from work.
See, I would be more afraid of getting beat up in a clown outfit personally.
I would just be more afraid of a clown.
Yeah, it's a very bizarre story, but it's true. It's 100% true.
Maria, honestly, this is, of all the bizarre stories you've told me over the years, this might be number one. Okay.
It's a favorite. It's a fan favorite now.
This is going to become a fan favorite. I don't even know what to say about that. I'm speechless. She got me.
See, we're speechless again. It'll be another 4 weeks before we have a podcast. You'll still be talking on it.
Okay. So why do you think that Hennepin Medical Center doesn't want their clinicians to look like cops? I mean, Minnesota is maybe not the ground zero, the epicenter for a lot of this unrest. You could argue that Portland may be worse, but Portland has had, you know, ambulance crews attacked with knives at stoplights, if I remember correctly.
I almost feel like it's more of a CYA. Just like, you know, a lot of employers are requiring masks, whether you're vaccinated or not. And, you know, like that's like a CYA. So that if someone gets sick, it's like, well, our policy was that everybody was wearing masks. We kind of know that for the most part, people are safe not wearing masks, but we're saying do it anyway because it's on paper. It sounds really good. It makes us feel like we're doing something. So I think.
So you think it's virtue signaling? Virtue signaling? Just.
I think it depends who's doing it, but I think when it comes to policies, I think that's more what the schools or the programs might have in mind with the uniform considerations, where they're like, well, we didn't make them look like cops. So if anyone gets hurt, it's not going to be because they were mistaken for being a cop, or it won't be implied that that happened. So it's almost like an overcompensation, if anything. You know, like it's about the perception that we're being as safe as humanly possible.
The difference between medic students and medics is that medic students have to usually pay for their uniforms, whereas medics get their uniforms issued by their employer. So it's going to cost them, in Hennepin County's case, hundreds of thousands, if not, you know, $1 million, right?
Right.
So their choice actually makes a real difference. If they just went to scrubs, it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper than some polyester, you know, Nike golf shirt looking thing.
That's true. Yeah. And I think if they're getting supplied, that's one thing. I think if they weren't getting supplied for whatever reason, people would complain that they weren't able to reuse their pants for all their different 5 or 6 EMS per diem jobs.
That's actually a real problem though, right? If you're not getting your uniforms issued to you.
Right. And they might not want to pay to switch the uniforms too. That might just be like a logistical nightmare. Like, oh, we have to switch everyone to white pants. I think that can cause some hesitation as well.
But this is what Hennepin County is doing. They're buying into this right now about they're going to pay the cost of the new uniforms, but you know, they don't, you know, I'm not sure if it's the union or if it's the clinicians or it's the union and the clinicians. I'm not sure if it's for a different reason than the obvious, than the, you know, the obvious reason that they don't like the uniform. Maybe that's not the issue. But it seems like they're worried about looking like cops. And I guess if I'd spent my career wearing a completely different color, I think it might be in Thailand or in Malaysia, there's an ambulance service that wears purple. You know, if I wore purple every day and then I was forced into blue, I think I probably would be concerned that I'd be looking too much like a cop. But because I've worn blue for most of my career, I just don't think it has all that much impact.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen in Europe like some fluorescent type colors, which probably is nice for safety. You know, like if you're on the side of the road, you don't have to think about donning a vest. You're already basically covered in a vest.
Well, everything has to meet that fluorescent road safety standard. And in the US, we have a similar standard. That's why you have a vest in the door of your truck that you have to wear on the roadway. You know, if you go to the Netherlands, they tend to wear this bright blue and yellow sort of uniforms. If you go to Sweden and Norway, I think most of their uniforms tend to be red. And in Germany, I think they're mostly red as well.
I was wondering if that's where the stripes came from, and some of the agencies that have navy with a white stripe or like a yellow stripe or something, if that was more about having the reflection than it was about having a stripe. I don't know, just a theory.
I think sort of making it ANSI compliant is a little more than that. It's a little more brightly, you know, reflective across the board. But it's, you know, it just seems that it doesn't seem that wearing brown or wearing green is particularly related to healthcare on the part of me or, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a healthcare color. You know, one of the interesting things is about the Hennepin case is that they didn't say they did any public surveying to see what the public thought of the people who would be wearing that new uniform, which I find interesting because it's, you know, one of the things about hospital-based EMS I find endlessly interesting is that they'll spend, you know, $300,000 on a new ambulance and they'll get it painted, but they don't really spend that much time thinking about what that roaming billboard is saying about their healthcare institution. So, you know, I've worked places where they didn't invest as much money into EMS as they probably should have. So the ambulances were dirty or beat up, and yet it's driving around 24 hours a day around their community. And that's the message it's sending. But at the same token, having your clinicians wear brown is also sending a message. And, you know, not being from Boston and not being from Minneapolis, what it says to me is that you're a package delivery person, not a healthcare person.
Oh, I should have said UPS.
Yes, that's what it says in the article, that it's UPS brown.
Yes. So that, okay. So, or even postal, you know, I didn't think postal for like white or blue, but I should have thought them too. I was forgetting about them. My mind went on a tangent when you were talking about the image on different ambulances. So, you know, where my mind went, it went to the Sleepy Hollow headless horseman on the ambulance and the fire trucks, because that's just what my brain does.
Yeah. The dark red and black ambulance. Good job, guys.
But no tombstones. That's too ominous. No tombstones. I wish I was in that town hall. I just want to be in that town hall where someone vetoes the tombstones, but it's like headless horseman.
Guy's
yes.
Okay. We're going to go for that.
But take off too ominous. No tombstones. Keep the headless guy.
Yep. Yep.
Bring a live horse to every game where he's the mascot.
I mean, there's a lot of this. We don't talk a lot about the visual significance of what we do. We don't talk a lot about, you know, one of the trends you see, and you see it like all over the place, these polyester shirts, which are hot, you know, this is a problem, right? You're going to be wearing something that's going to make you sweat more. Why is that a good idea on anybody's part? And oh, by the way, I used to wear Postal Service blue shirts when I first started working in Jersey City. You could call it Coast Guard blue or Postal Service blue, but it was the same blue because they were actually Coast Guard or post office shirts we wore. And that was a change from having worn Ben Casey whites up until, God, probably about 8 years before I started there. They wore whites for 100 years. So I'm not sure if it was a good move or a bad move, but the postal service blue, Air Force blue, was actually a pretty good blue because it was not white, but it was not dark blue at the same time.
Right. Well, the military branches have all their own colors. They differentiate, and that's all military. So
they do. And the Army went back to their pink shirts for their dress uniforms 2 years ago.
I think I heard something about that.
It was their, what they wore during, it's not pink, they have a different name for it, but their
rose. It reminds me of church.
It's rose. Yeah.
In the Catholic Church, it's rose. It's like fuchsia? No, rose.
Rose. That's what they were during World War II. You know, this is the part of the problem too, is that if our identity, you know, this is, if you go to Boston or even Hennepin County and you ask them about their brown uniforms, they'll say, this is our tradition. This is what we've worn for a long time. And in Boston, my guess is that's what they've worn since, oh God, probably the mid 70s. Hennepin, I'm not sure when they started wearing it, but before that, both places wore whites, I think.
Yeah, well, some of those trends changed with, like, you know, kind of gender differentiation in clothing. Like, pink used to be okay for guys. It's like, it was not okay. Of course, you can wear whatever you want, but, like, it used to be more stereotypical for a male to wear a pink shirt in a certain decade.
In the 80s, that is.
No, before that.
The yuppies, come on. Before it's, you know, what does the color say about us as a profession? Why don't we have a single color to represent EMS in this country? You know, in the UK, they use green. And as a result, when you see a lot of that thin blue line, thin red line, blah, 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 you'll see like a thin white line or a thin green line representing EMS in a lot of the gear. Why don't we have a standard color?
I think we need to go beyond color and do patterns. Like, I would totally vote
a tartan. For polka dots. Your own tartan.
I look great in polka dots.
You know, it's actually, there's not a lot written about this. I've looked at this stuff before. I've tried to find more stuff about the interpretation of colors and all the stuff we've said already about how white represents healthcare and blue and certain greens represent, you know, authority colors. And enforcement and, you know, laborers. And that's all true. I'm surprised there hasn't been more focus on this, considering the billions of dollars that America spends on mobile healthcare, that there should be some thought about this. But at the same token, there's not that much thought about ambulance colors either, or ambulance design.
I was going to say that. I was also going to say that, you know, if we were federally run, then, you know, they might be able to standardize that, kind of like, you know, the military is federal, right? Mm-hmm. But I also think that if we're always the redheaded stepchild in every system that we're in, whether we're in a hospital or whatever, you know, other people are going to have a say over what we wear beyond just our EMS supervisors or our culture in EMS, right? So a hospital might have a certain color, so they want EMS to wear that color.
That's right? Possibly true. Although when they tried that with the fire service, they know that the lime green fire engines were more visible, but I think they lost that cultural battle with firefighters. They got back to red. And, you know, if you look at the DOT, like, they spent an awful lot of effort trying to create the Star of Life as the symbol of EMS. And it's a very specific color blue, and it is a very specific shape. And we have the KKK 1822A, blah, 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 ambulance purchasing standard, which I always like to harp on that it's a purchasing standard for federal ambulances, where the ambulances are required to be white and Omaha orange and have flashing lights and a lot of diamond plate on the sides. And that is the de facto, in many states, de facto ambulance specification requirement. Although almost every state I know, maybe Hawaii is the exception, doesn't require the Omaha orange and white. In fact, you'll see most ambulances are not going to be white with Omaha orange anymore. Although in the 70s, that was probably a more prevalent look. So why don't we have orange uniforms? Dark burnt orange uniforms.
Then we can run over the cones and we can kind of blend in.
Well, you know, a darker orange wouldn't show as much dirt, right? And frankly, there's nobody else walking around wearing orange outfits except maybe, like, you know, utility workers who work down in manholes, right? They're the only ones I can think of who wear orange jumpsuits.
I could go for the orange shirts.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel like orange is construction to me.
Okay.
I also think we should wear hard hats.
Like Roy and Johnny did in the truck.
Yeah, because I think that the hats actually say a lot about the uniform. Like the state troopers, they have those, like, cool hats, right? And you always know who they are from the hats, not just the color uniform.
Well, in New Jersey, in New York and New Jersey, I'm not sure that's true. In New York and New Jersey, they have very distinctive uniforms. So in New York, they wear gray pants, gray shirt with a purple tie.
Yeah, purple.
Purple. The purple gives them away. In New Jersey, New Jersey state troopers wear a very specific color, blue. And I knew this, but I was just reading this last night.
Like cerulean or something.
It's like whatever it is, but they wear, they don't wear a badge on their chest. They're one of the few state police agencies that doesn't have a badge. They wear their triangle on their hat. Mm-hmm. So in New Jersey, if you're pulled over by a state trooper, even on a day like today where it's 93 degrees out, that state trooper will be wearing a long sleeve shirt and will get out of the car and put his hat on. And you know, New Jersey state troopers are a very professional agency, and they strike fear in the hearts of people when they pull them over, because they're, it used to be when I was a kid, they all had to be over 6 foot tall. So they were all really big guys.
Like typecasted.
Like typecasted. And they always looked squared away.
NBA or New Jersey State Police.
Tall guys, tall, big guys. And even in the summertime, wearing their hat and their long sleeve shirts. So, you know, they have a very specific image, and it comes from the fact that the founder of the New Jersey State Police had been in the military. And so they have a very specific uniform that comes to some degree from that point. And it retains a lot of those characteristics. Although the one difference is they used to be all motorcycle cops back in the 30s and 40s. And so they all used to wear bow ties, black bow ties, because it's not realistic to wear a regular tie on a motorcycle. But apparently it is realistic to wear a bow tie when you're riding a motorcycle, I guess.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. So what do you think about like the EMS getting more and more casual over time? So one of the things that Hennepin is doing is they're moving to one of these polyester polo type shirts. What is the effect of moving towards a more casual outfit over time?
Personally, I feel like I just want to be in something that holds up, like that lasts.
Mm-hmm. This is why I used to hate polo shirts.
Yeah, I don't have a big preference on like what that is, as long as it's sturdy enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that as far as how the patients would perceive it, I don't know, you'd have to poll them. I bet that the more casual that we look, the less seriously we would be taken to some degree.
I think so too.
I think in other ways we might be more relatable. So it kind of depends on the
who
patient
and
population,
what?
The situation, the audience.
When you were a medic student, did you have to wear a like professional clothes and a lab coat to your clinical rotations?
No, we wore black scrubs with a lab coat.
Okay. I wore, you know, professional clothes and a white coat. And there wasn't an easy way to differentiate me from the medical student, from the intern, from the resident. And as a result, we were treated a certain way. Because if they, you know, you're a medical, I remember being told one time when I was asked to do something, I think put a Foley in, I was like, I can't do that. I'm a paramedic student. They're like, paramedic student, medical student, intern, it's all the same. Go put the Foley in. And so I think that sort of,
I think it's a pro and a con, right? Like if you're wearing the scrubs, you kind of blend in like, oh, they're a student, or oh, they're staff, or, you know, they blend in with the hospital vibe. Mm-hmm. But I also think, yeah, there's some confusion about, you know, who exactly you are. I think in the place that I was doing, one of the hospitals I was doing rotations, it was a university hospital, and we matched the scribes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little confusing. And, you know, because people were color coded, but I also felt like I liked wearing the scrubs because I didn't really want to wear my real clothes inside of a hospital. I kind of liked being able to keep that sort of separate.
Mm-hmm.
So
I understand.
Yeah. Mixed reviews.
It's a mixed bag. I knew that, you know, if you go to Israel, not the ambulance crews, but a lot of, security type people, a lot of people will wear, just even some of the ambulance crews, I think if they're responding from home, will just wear a vest. That's a very common look in Israel, that they'll be in, you know, whatever pants they're wearing, whatever shoes they're wearing, whatever shirt they're wearing, and then they'll have an identifying vest worn over it. And you see that to some extent in the U.S. For example, mm-hmm. the Hatzola crews, I think, have vests, all of them.
Well, when you have a vest, you have more pockets, and that's always a plus.
That's true. But, you know, whacker vests used to be, I'm not going to say they were more popular, but they were more prevalent 20 years ago. And now it's one of those things where you don't really see them very often among either career or volunteer people, which I find a little interesting mm-hmm. because as a career person, probably 15 years ago, I started wearing a whacker vest at work. And the reason why was because I wanted to open my locker and take out my whacker vest and put it on and have my ID and my pen and my Ivy Star kit and my reference guide and my gum and my, you know, whatever.
Scott Phelps fully loaded.
Scott Phelps fully loaded. And my little, you know, kid junior paramedic stickers and all my stuff. And
Did you have a flashlight, Scott? You had a flashlight?
I had a flashlight and a pair of...
Did you paint it black?
I didn't paint it any color. I threw it in my pocket. And my knife and my pair of scissors and my pepper spray and everything I had carried with me. And my ambulance call report.
Notepad? Monocle?
No monocle. So although I probably had sunglasses in there somewhere. Actually, I do now because I have my eye protection in my jacket pockets.
And how times changed, right? Because now it would be phone charger.
Yeah.
You know, backup battery.
But I still have it. That's my point. I still wear it. So whenever I go to work, like I wear my BDU pants, which I put nothing in the lower pockets except maybe my phones. And then I wear a polo shirt, or, you know, in the wintertime, I have a, whatchamacallit sweater, work shirt. And then I'll wear that whacker vest. And, you know, if I'm not on a job, I could leave it in the truck. It holds everything because I'm old and I'm forgetful and I don't want to leave it, you know, don't want to forget stuff. But I stopped wearing boots 20 years ago and I wear like Rockports. Yeah. Because I'm not climbing under cars for the most part. I'm climbing up flights of stairs to go to somebody's apartment mm-hmm. with a bunch of stuff.
Even in my normal life, I like having pockets over like a purse. I've never been like a purse person. So I like having the pockets preloaded. I would have been doing the vest, but we know that because we're the same.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny though. Furno used to sell vests. They don't sell them anymore. There was a place in Cold Lake, Alberta, which made the best vests I've ever seen. And I have a couple of their vests. They cost a couple hundred dollars a piece. These aren't ballistic vests. These are just whacker vests, right?
I just didn't want to make the investment. That's my only hesitation. I see the utility behind it. One of my partners has a vest, but he's had it for years.
Yeah, but that's why you buy it once and it's good for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So what would happen if we just wore like you said, like either scrubs or whatever we wanted and wore identifiable whacker vest? Mm-hmm. Does that scream medical to you? That screams volunteer to me in some ways in my head, I guess, but.
I think it looks a little haphazard if you're not used to that. Like, I think, you know how things have to be good, but sometimes they have to look good to a degree.
Yeah.
I think based on the culture that we have wherever we are living and working and what that perception is, some of that matters professionally, right? So you'd have to actually change that perception and make it a new normal to have that effect.
And you'd have to get everybody to do it. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least get more people to do it. So, you know, this is one of the things is that, you know, Hennepin County is going to find out pretty quickly if they try to force a uniform choice on clinicians. They'll just figure out some way to sabotage it.
Honestly. It'll be interesting to watch. Like many things, it's more fun watched from afar than actually doing it, I think.
You know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon or a historian of EMS to understand that if you try to force something upon EMS clinicians that they don't want to do, they're not going to do it. And they'll figure out 1,000 ways to undermine it. And they'll just get rid of it. So, yeah. You know, I don't think you can make everybody happy all the time, but if you're not sort of listening to your clinicians about sort of, this is what we would prefer, mm-hmm. then you'll see it get undercut.
Right. And I tend to agree.
So I don't want to wear browns. You know, one of the interesting things about New York Presbyterian is that they have to order their white BDUs custom because nobody makes them. Mm-hmm. So there's like one company that makes them especially for them because it's actually, you know, this is the problem. The more esoteric you want to go with your uniform, the harder it is to find a supplier for it. And that's, I think, one of the things that I always find really interesting, that ambulances all look the same in structure, or more or less the same. There was one of the companies had made a side loading ambulance about 10 years ago. They made 5 of them where it would load from the side and the patient would sit sort of sideways. And they only made 5 and never made any more. And then they actually got rid of them. And it was sort of a boondoggle.
But I feel like the ambulances haven't changed that much, like in structure. Like it's like the 3 main types. And then when you look at the first responder cars are what I find is morphing over time. Like it goes back and forth between the trucks, the Suburbans. Mm-hmm. I know one of the ones I just saw come out, it was really interesting in one of the local districts, not the one I work at, but the one that we meet a lot of the time at the hospital. They have the truck with the chassis in the back, mm-hmm. For the first responder. And instead of having the compartments outside, in the back, you have one door in the back where you can slide out the equipment.
Okay.
And if you put the equipment on the outside of the truck, you can put a patient in the middle.
You know, one of the things I always wonder about, and I've been wondering this for years, is our vehicles are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm not really sure what the benefit of that is.
It's a hoarding quality more than it is a quality patient care quality.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a car guy. I'm not. But, you know, and I drive a Subaru Forester, and that says everything about me, I think. But the, you know,
Porsche. I drive a Honda Fit. It's a vibe. See, I drive a little blue car. It defines me perfectly. Literally unprompted, I walked out of one of the places I teach with a guy I haven't seen in over a year because COVID and teaching, mm-hmm. right? So, and he literally saw my car and he said, "How did I know that was your little blue car?" I'm like, well,
just because. Me. But listen, you could make an ambulance, a transport ambulance out of a Subaru Forester. We've had them for years. If you go online and you look at, there's a Porsche Cayenne that at the Porsche test track, they made an ambulance out of. And you could do exactly the same thing with a Honda CR-V or a Subaru Forester. You take out the passenger seats, you put the stretcher mount in there. And you could fit, you know, a driver and the clinician in it, and you could, you know, do interfacility transports in a Subaru Forester. We've seen this before. We've seen Chevy Suburbans used as ambulances. We've seen International Harvesters used as ambulances.
Oh yeah. Or like, just look at, you know, like we were really using Hearsts first, right? That was kind of like where we started.
Yeah. But those are even bigger. Those are bigger than both your Honda and my Subaru. But making ambulances smaller and perhaps more reliable off of a car chassis does make them safer because it's an integrated chassis, but also they're significantly cheaper. So if you could buy a Subaru Forester for $25,000 and take the seats out and put a stretcher mount in and make something that could be a transport ambulance or a non-critical care, even 911 ambulance, you could do that. And it would actually probably be reasonably okay.
Right.
But yet there's no push for that. You know, you see these Freightliner ambulances, which, listen, I'm not a firefighter and I've never been a firefighter, but, you know, I don't need a Freightliner truck. That's a fire engine to me. Those big diesel behemoths, right?
I'm not a big car person as seen by my regular car.
So. Yeah. So I'm not sure why, you know, we're not trying to focus on innovation and structure, because that's the reason we get the ambulances we get, is because that's what people envision and that's what manufacturers are used to making. We don't see a lot of innovation because of that. And so I think uniforms are the same way to some regard, is that what's possible is defined by what people are used to. And if you want something radically different, then it's going to be much harder for you to be able to get a hold of that. So just one more example is early on during COVID, you know, I'm not a big fan of wearing a Tyvek jumpsuit because you look like a marshmallow man. But Tyvek makes
I'd hate to be doing that in the summer right now.
Yeah, but Tyvek makes separate pants and tops. And so you could buy a Tyvek jacket. You can't buy it in the US, but you can buy it everywhere else in the world, where it's a Tyvek jacket and it zips up as a, you know, they're not the most expensive things in the world. They're about 10 bucks each and they're, you know, not meant to last forever. But it's got a hood, right. It's got sealed seams.
You can wipe them down too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so like I was thinking about actually springing for a case of them and then printing them up. And then, you know, with paramedic on the back, and then selling them as a jacket you can wipe down and clean or throw out. It's not too expensive to throw out. If you could wear it for a couple of days, you could wear it for one day, you could, you know, whatever.
We're always doing spoiler alerts on our business ventures, and one day it's going to burn us. Someone's going to steal it off our podcasts and we're going to see it make millions and we're not going to get any credit.
No one's going to make millions off the EMS stuff. That much I'm sure of. Okay. If anyone
they'll just use it for something else.
No,
they'll take the EMS idea and they'll use it in some other field where someone cares and wants to invest in it.
I want them to go buy like 1,000 of these Tyvek jackets and bring them to here and print paramedic on the back of them. And I'll buy one. It's not that hard to do. Actually, I mean, honestly, it's, like many other things in my life, it's like I just have to get motivated to go and do it. That's all.
Right.
But having, you know, thinking about a uniform that's more fit for purpose, that is sending the right signals, that we've tested on an audience, that is comfortable, that we can get clinicians to wear. I think all of that is important, and I don't necessarily think that people spend that much. They'll spend the money to buy it, but they won't spend the time to think about getting it right.
I think it's a good area for qualitative research.
Oh, it is. There's literally almost nothing on it in the literature. I've looked, and I didn't look this week. I've looked for 2 years trying to find stuff. And there's stuff written about nurses and about the role of white in healthcare and the role of blue in police officers, but there is nothing written about ambulance uniforms that I found. So yeah, right. If you're a researcher, that's a great subject to be able to research. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe we should do that. Maybe that should be our next project. Buy the Tyvek jackets and then do some research on this stuff.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of research on, you know, like dress for success type stuff, you know, like what to wear to an interview and things like that. So some of those are just common emotions that, you know, certain colors elicit. But it would be interesting just to study it from a professional standpoint of when you're being treated for medical care, when you're encountering someone in uniform, you know, what kind of vibe do you get from that?
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Like we should work on that.
Qualitative. We should.
More research projects for us.
But both of us suffer from severe ADHD. And so we know we start ideas that they don't always come to fruition or completion, but
no, see, that's the difference. That's see now for both, for me and for you too. I know this is true. I do have ADHD and I have an idea and maybe I don't do it right away, but I eventually do it. So like when I started thinking about the color of uniforms, like literally in, was it 2016? I actually did a study project where I signed out of Google and then searched for paramedic in Google Images. And then I took every image that had the picture of a real person and I categorized it by the colors of uniforms they were wearing. So of the uniforms where there was more than two pictures with somebody in uniform, 161, the paramedic was wearing blue. 13, the paramedic was wearing blue-yellow. 13, the paramedic was wearing blue and white. 9, the paramedic was wearing blue and gray. And 6, shout out to Scandinavia, the paramedic was wearing blue and red.
I hate to shatter this, Scott. I do. You know I do.
Okay.
But is it possible that your search engine is geared towards your location and national averages? And that's why the distribution came that way.
Yes, because 27 of the pictures were the medic was wearing green, which is very British. 8, they were wearing green and yellow, which is still British. And 6, they were wearing white and white. And yes, I think it is tied to language more than location.
I do have
the pictures still. So I have the pictures in a file somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't think most of the paramedics pictured were Asian or, anything other than like white people, basically.
Yeah, that's a good point, that language actually might be the best filter to tease out of that situation. Like if you had searched it in Japanese, would you have completely different results?
I'm sure I would have. And I know the reason I'm sure I would have is because I still have structured Google searches, Google News searches in Japanese and Chinese and Korean and Russian. Mm-hmm. And I used to get news articles from all over the world like that. And yes, you get a very different, set of mm-hmm. results if you search in Chinese than you do if you search in English for the same subject.
Well, that being said, if you did some qualitative research on, you know, what the different colors or uniforms might mean to different people, you might get different results based on your cultural
and
language, country, et cetera. All these different groups may have different, you know, cultural norms, ergo different emotions elicited from different.
In Tokyo, Tokyo Fire EMS was light blue. Light blue top and light blue bottom. Everything's different everywhere, right?
It's true.
Wow. So all we do is open up a research Pandora's box for ourselves here, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you have the data to do it. If you're in a college, you have adult learners, you have different age groups, you have.
I have to go from all suck up to the psychology professors, right? So I could borrow their class to ask them, give them take a couple of pictures and show them different pictures of people dressed up and see what they.
You could do a SurveyMonkey. SurveyMonkey, blast it out to the students and have them enter a raffle for a free iPod. That sounds so college, doesn't it? Oh, they don't have iPods anymore, do they? Oh, that's so sad. It would have to be like an Amazon card or something.
An Amazon card, something like that. Yeah. That's true. All right. So it's an area ripe for research. I think the only paper I saw on it besides this one in GEMS was Catherine Counts from Seattle Fire had an article in EMS 1, I think, maybe about 5 years ago about relating the blue of cops. Should EMS wear blue? But that's it. There's really no real research out there. So we're giving you a big shout out to any budding researchers out there who are interested in working on a research project. We'd be happy to help.
We have master's degrees.
we have degrees from, I'm not a doctor, but I have a degree from Yale Medical School in health policy. This is what I do. I've been, I'm a published author, all that kind of stuff that goes with it. We can help you do it. So if you're interested,
make it sound really interesting.
If you're interested, send us hit us up on Twitter or, at ambulance science at medic science or send us an email at ambulance.lab@gmail.com. And we're happy to work with you to get something together and get something done and get it published. That's important. Absolutely. For people. All right. Maria, any final words?
No, I think we covered it. I think we covered ambulances a different time, and we covered them again, and now we covered uniforms.
See, we're getting there.
Sunglasses there's... should be next.
The sunglasses?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, there's a whole Reddit meme about sunglasses for paramedics. Yeah, we could talk about sunglasses to the end of the earth. You know, this
eye
is
protection, PPE, but like cool PPE.
This is the problem being old is I've got my prescription sunglasses I wear. And they're not reflective, and I don't look like a robot or a Terminator.
I feel a new topic coming on.
All right. There's an I feel so bad. I feel like I'm old when I can't remember the name of the sunglasses that all the hotshot medics all claim to wear.
I wear the cheapest ones because I always break them or lose them.
That's a good motto, actually, for sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Where
start a sunglass company, Scott.
You know, listen, I could listen, you can lead me down the road to perdition here. You know, eyeglass frames, people pay hundreds of dollars for a $2 piece of metal because it has a brand name on it. Mm-hmm. But there's only four companies in the world. They'll crush you like an ant if you try to, you know, elbow your way in. You have to have big cash pockets like Warby Parker to actually.
No, they just have to be tactical.
Tactical. That's the word, right?
Oh my God, that's the brand name.
Tactical.
All right. Well, if anyone's still listening and they haven't thrown up already,
up, Scott. we make ourselves this is gonna be our tagline. We make ourselves throw up in our own mouths. Yeah. All right. Well, with that said, Maria, have a great day. Thank you for being with us. And we'd love to hear your comments. I always feel like when I listen to the other podcasts, they have a lot more like, I don't know, silly shit to say about, you know, contact us and buy our merchandise and blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I don't care. Like, I don't have any merchandise.
Just talk to us.
We don't have any merchandise to sell. We don't have any, you know, we don't care if you like us on Apple Podcasts. We don't care.
We have friends, but we can always use more.
You know what? That's a good tagline. We have friends, but we could always use more. With that said, have a great week, everybody.